in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to this recap edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, and not only from Bison Report, but from the sponsor of the show, the Big Deck Barbecue Company, our guy, my friend and yours, Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It was Victory Monday, so that's all you can ask for.
Is it? Is it all you can ask for, Zach?
If you're going to ask me, the answer to that question is yes, but that is not the case for everybody.
It's not. It's not. Some folks are not satisfied with the 20-0 victory over a conference opponent on the road. And honestly, this show is for you guys. it's for the unhappy, because if Zach and I wheeled this thing out here and talked about how great the Bison were for 25 minutes, I don't think a lot of you would listen or want to listen. And so that's who we're here for. We're here for the unhappy. We're here for the huddled masses of the Bison internet community, though Matt Ence had some choice words, in my opinion, for y'all. And we'll play some of that, because I was the voice of the people. I'm often referred to as that, correct, Zach? I'm the voice of the people.
Yeah, man of the people, voice of the people. I mean, that's what you're called in the streets.
In the streets, indeed. So, I mean, folks, I straight up asked the question, and we'll get to it in a little bit. But I thought Coach's answer was interesting. We'll play it for you, and we'll play the question because I and Zach and I both are largely sick of fielding the question, to be honest with you. So, you know, we went straight to the top, and we are no longer mouthpieces, because the mouthpiece is the man himself. Diving into the news, Braden Thomas worked out on the field before the Illinois State game, was not cleared by medical professionals. The quote that I got from the head man was that he is ready to play. They just need the people that know what they're talking about to give the clearance, which I think is an important, I think it's an important thing. You know, I like that the program is in that place. Same thing with James Kayser. And one thing that Coach really mentioned with Kays was, I think they're sick of the on again, off again stuff with him, and are just wanting to sort of shut him down until he's ready.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. But, you know, both of those guys are guys that are going to get on the field and play. If their limbs are connected to their body, it's going to be a hard time keeping them off the field, especially B-Tom. I know he's a blue-collar, like, roughneck guy like that. So him being ready to go is one thing, but waiting for the docs to clear him is another, and it's good they're playing it smart like that.
Right. And that, I mean, look, you want B-Tom and Kayser available in December and January, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. And it's not that October doesn't matter, because it does, but you aggravate something, or, you know, you tear a UCL in that elbow, or, you know, you tear a groin, it could be ball game, man. So, yeah. It's important to get these guys locked in, ready to play football, and get them back when you get them back. Don't lose them after three series again.
Right, especially in the fact that now we're seeing some young cats get some burn, and that's only better for the team now in December and January, like you mentioned.
It is. They're building depth on that defensive line. My guy, Barty Ogbu, getting some love, getting some reps. And my son, Cole Wisniewski, I've been football love, man. That kid's so damn good. He's so good.
He's the special. Sky, it's hard not to be in love.
Man, him and – he and the Mostart twins are just the foundations of this defense for the next, I don't know, and Courtney Eubanks are the foundations for this defense for years to come. I suppose you could throw, honestly, they are. And you can throw Dom Jones in there too, because how young he is. really, really impressive cats. All right, let's get to some Valley news. Let's get indignant because that's where I am at right now. Quincy Patterson, the Valley newcomer of the week. I would say QP doesn't even feel probably like he deserved an award. Anytime you turn the ball over twice, you're not loving it. But hey, 100 yards on the ground, two throwing snacks.
It feels late to me.
It does. Exactly. Yes. It's like
making up for it.
It's like the old thing in the, like, for example, Packers defensive lineman BJ Raji. He got voted into the Pro Bowl the year after he deserved it. And that kind of crap happens all the time, especially with big uglies, because people just don't understand what they're watching. And so the year after a guard should make the Pro Bowl, they do, kind of no matter what kind of season they have, because people or a nose or whatever, people don't get it until the kind of the commentators tell them or until the rest of the league tells them what the deal is. And you're right. I do feel like it's
talking about either.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, QP, you know, I'm up and down performance from him. Certainly missed a few throws, made a few throws, just can't turn the ball over. Can't turn the ball over. Got to make a better read on fourth and one inside your own red zone. I almost count that as a turnover as well. So got to play better. And he knows that. I mean, he doesn't need me to tell him that. He knows that.
No, yeah.
When is my guy Eli Mostert going to get his goddamn flowers, Zach?
He needs them. He needs them now because the kid is special. And I've known that, you know, even as a freshman when he stepped on campus and he's a little 250-pound D tackle. And we're like, what are you going to do here? And then you just started dogging people. And we're like, okay, that's what you're going to do here.
I mean, I guess that, and I haven't watched the whole game, USD's win over UNI. I watched a little bit of it live. And some kid had two picks. And Eli had four sacks. So, like, I don't know what's more impressive to you. I don't know. But I feel like Eli
worked harder for a sack than a pick. Sorry, DBs, but
it depends on the pick.
Four sacks is a lot.
It depends. I mean, there are interior, honest to God, there are interior defensive linemen that are good players. And I know they graded it as 3.5 or they scored it as 3.5, but half sacks are for losers.
give them four.
Yeah. Like, I just, mercy. There are good interior defensive linemen that don't get to the quarterback four times all year.
Correct.
So that was a hell of an afternoon. And I wanted my guy to get his flowers, and I'm mad about it.
I mean, I think he's on a fast track to putting together an all conference, soon to be all American resume.
I'm with you. I am with you. Zach, this is the Bias Report brought to you by Big Deck Radio, That'd be a fun show. This is Bias Report Radio brought to you by the Big Deck Barbecue Company. What do you guys got on deck this week? You like that transition? How I recovered there?
That was nice. Yeah. We'll be out of tailgating again Saturday, bright and early. When the lot's open, you'll see us. We'll have barbecue sauce and fun conversations loaded up for you guys. So come by and say hi.
When are we going to get the rubs out of tailgating?
Got to talk to Tyson about that.
Okay.
He's the man who schedules production.
Fair enough. Fair
Yell enough. At him, TWillis321 on Twitter.
We should get TWillis321 to maybe just do some production instead of scheduling it.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Oh, man. All right, folks. Let's get into it here. We're going to play a clip, and this was from – you're going to get this on Tuesday morning. This is from yesterday's press conference with the head man, Coach Antz. I had enough, and I certainly didn't phrase the question in a disrespectful manner or, you know, anything like that. But I've had enough of defending the offense constantly, and not because I don't believe what I'm saying, but it's just not my place. So I tried to ask the questions you guys wanted asked about the offense and about the red zone offense particular, because honestly, between the 20s, they're fine. And if you don't think they're fine between the 20s, I can't help you. What they're averaging yards per play, yards per carry, like if you think that's a problem, you got other issues. You just don't understand what you're looking at. But red zone offense two of the last three games has been rough. So I wanted to get, or maybe it's two of the last four going back to UND. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, I asked the question, and here was the answer.
obviously not online during the game, but if fans are getting frustrated with the offense, what would you say to somebody that's getting frustrated with the offense at this point?
Frustrated in what sense, I guess?
Maybe that the play calling's predictable, that's a big one that we see, or just conservative nature maybe of the game script.
I don't know if I'm really even going to comment to it. I think Coach Roll does a great job. I think, like I said, we had over 200 yards rushing. We're in the red zone five different times. I think our kids play unbelievably hard. I think there's a lot of positives right now. I think I just read off a list of them. So I'm not frustrated. Anyone who's frustrated with wins probably comes from someone who doesn't win very often.
The red zone thing. You've had two of the last three games where red zone's been kind of a bugaboo. What can you guys do better down there?
Score touchdowns.
Thanks, man.
You know, that's the obvious answer. Just be consistent. This last week we threw an interception where the backside safety he got the best of our quarterback, and our quarterback thought he was rolling down single high defense. We were going to hit the Y pop. He jumped back, trap coverage. He was trapping number three strong. And so, kudos to them. They're a good football team as well. They made a nice play. And, the other one was tips and overthrows. And so, no one went into the game, Ross, with the anticipation of throwing interceptions. No one was trying to not score touchdowns. Our kids play unbelievably hard. We'll continue to try to utilize our talent the best that we can. I think we're trying to get the football to as many different possibilities as we can. You saw Phoenix getting a shot down the hole. You saw a bunch of hitches, a bunch of stop routes with Christian trying to, again, get him one-on-one with people, see if he can break some tackles. So I think it's there. I think it's just we got to break some tackles. We got to make some more plays. And can we continue to spread the ball around better? Probably. I know the wind probably affected us a little bit on, we didn't take many shots on Saturday, but it was probably a 20-mile-an-hour wind, especially when you were going into the scoreboard.
And that's something that people can't see, and I will say that. It is hard to see the wind on a TV broadcast, and that does, if it is blowing above 20 miles an hour, that does affect the way you call the game, and I'm not using that as an excuse. It's just a simple fact. It's something you can't see on the broadcast unless, there's weird stuff going on in the background or you can see the flags on top of the field goal post. It's kind of an unseen thing. Again, not an excuse, but just something to pay attention to. Zach, as a springboard. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's one of those things where, people don't see it on a TV broadcast, like you said, but if Quincy goes out and throws the ball 30 times and completes it 50% of the time, people are going to be like, what are we doing throwing the ball this much? Well, you have to tailor the play call to what you're dealt with during the game.
Absolutely. And the other thing, honestly, too, folks, is you may not like it, but flat out, they got to a point in this game where they understood that Illinois State was not going to get to 10 points and that just bleeding the game out and winning 20-0 was going to put that W in the column. And while you all would have liked it to be 41-0, that's fine. That's a valid opinion. But at some point, this team just wants to get dubs. And when they understand that their defense has this thing on lockdown, they're going to call run plays, period. That's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, that's just how Valley football is played. I feel like people want to see this run and gun, run the score up, giant numbers. If we take care of business, and people can have qualms with what goes on in the red zone. But like I said, like you talked about earlier, what goes on between the 20s is working just fine, and Code Green is playing out of their mind, and that helps a play caller like T-Roll to know that he can lean on the guys when the ball goes back out for Illinois State, that they're going to take care of business too.
For sure. And in the red zone, where I guess I do want more production, and I think you would too, and the coaches would as well. This is a team now with the option to run the quarterback. I can understand not having a ton of success in the red zone if you have a statue like Zeb, and I'm not dumping on Zeb, but that's why teams have a wildcat package in the red zone. That's why teams have even a backup quarterback that comes in the red zone. Like having a run threat at QB is a huge deal inside the 20 and inside the 10. But North Dakota State just has that. They have two extremely powerful backs in Tamarick Williams and Dom Ganella. They've got two NFL tight ends who are both taller than 6'5". And they've got an alien in Christian Watson that can, you know, win a jump ball too. Not only that, there are other ways besides a jump ball to score touchdowns in the red zone. They've got shiftier guys like Raja and Fee that you could get involved in the red zone as well. Or even a Jalen Bussey. You just need to get the thing across the line. Right. They just have too many dudes to be as inefficient as they have been.
Which is kind of surprising to me because when – go back to when we had Trey in 2019, we were incredibly efficient in the red zone. And it was almost like a 90% guarantee we were going to score if we got inside the 20. And, you know – the play calling you ran with Trey isn't that different than what you can run with QP. I think they have a lot of the same abilities as far as running the ball inside the 20. You know, you can argue about whatever arm talent and accuracy, whatever. That's not an argument I want to get into because I think Quincy still has a lot of untapped potential yet. But I think these are things that people see and get frustrated with when they see the spoils of riches we have as far as weapons to use in the red zone, and we just I feel like they are being underutilized for the most part. It's almost like we get painted into a corner of which one we're going to try to use in the red zone this week, and then we forget about all the rest of them that we have.
And look, folks, like I think decision making is a big thing between in as far as the difference between Quincy and Trey is concerned, but folks, the number three overall pick in the draft is not really a fair standard to hold everybody to.
Right.
And I understand that it's a standard at North Dakota State, but it's tough. It's a difficult standard for sure.
And then the one before him was the winningest quarterback of all time. So
and the one before him was the number two overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, so we just need to understand a little bit that, like, and I think we especially got a taste of it this spring. Like we came back down to earth, what we saw from talent at quarterback position at NDSU. I think Quincy's doing a fine job. I think the guys will get to it. It's all just about execution now.
It is. And the value of the football, I think, is the one thing that I need to see better from Quincy Patterson. That was one thing that Trey Lance, you know, with very, very few games under his belt, as a redshirt freshman, absolutely refused to turn the football over. Refused. And at this point now in the season with Quincy, it's not quite like that. And again, you know, you talk about the standard being the standard and the standard of Trey Lance is a little unfair, but I know that there are, and I'm looking at the stats right now and I'm not seeing it on his page. I know there's at least one fumble lost, and he's got three picks through North Dakota State right now is 6-0. But that's just too many. And it's not catastrophic. He's not turning the ball over every game. But the Bison offense runs on ball control.
Right.
And you can't control the ball without possessing the ball. So that is something that I would like to see improved moving forward.
Which, you know, if I want to take a silver lining out of that aspect, you know, two picks on Saturday, and we still had 37 minutes of time of possession.
Yeah, very impressive.
Extremely impressive to me. And I think the thing is that, and I think Quincy, you know, just finding that comfortability factor with himself and when he plays, is Trey was 100% happy with taking the ball down if that second read wasn't there and running for four or five. And, you know, we all obviously saw the magic that happens when Trey would tuck it and run. But I think that's something Quincy just needs to find in his game a little bit. I think it's just in the fact that he knows he can or he feels like he can throw it through anybody on the field that it's like, okay, I can try to fit this in, make this pass work. Sometimes you just got to take what's given to you, man. And I think that's something that comes with time and comes with experience as you see live bullets on Saturdays.
For sure. Let's get offensive line time with Zach Willis. You know, I watched TV copy. I'm sure you've had a chance. I know you weren't able to watch the game live, but I'm sure you've had a chance to watch what you have been able to watch. And, you know, this game was fine. I think, you know, I don't know if you'd call it a banner day. I'm just going to try and pull up some, you know, general statistics that you would judge an offensive line by. Quincy took one sack. They averaged 4.2 a carry, which included two kneel downs. So realistically, a little bit better than that. What did you see?
I think, you know, I just saw a little bit of what felt like them doing what needed to be done to get the job done. You know, it was like, it wasn't really spectacular. You didn't have any of the giant rushes, but over four a carry and 37 minutes time of possession with only one sack given up, you'll take that every day of the week from the Rams.
Fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you because you know more about that stuff than I do. All right, let's hand out some flowers. Speaking of two picks, Jahzir Cox got two picks. That doesn't matter.
Play him at corner.
Good. Yeah. That's, you know, if you and I could just get Jahzir moved to corner and get the offensive lineman moved where we want him, we'd really be cooking with gas. Eli Mostert, though, we talked about it a little bit, gets to the quarterback four times. We're not going to talk a ton about that, but Jahzir Cox, what a special, special player. I mean, he really is good enough against the run to make the fact that you can basically play him at nickel corner and lose not a damn thing. Yeah. Incredibly impressive for this defense.
Just like, he's so tough to block, like personal experience. He's so slippery and so agile. And the only difference between him and Jabril is that Jabril was 6'4". I mean, if we want to be frank about it, I think Jahzir is just missing the height from having the same kind of hype his brother had, because the kid is a hell of a ball player.
He really is. I've been so impressed with his work in the passing game, man. He allows them, and it wouldn't – look, if he sucked against the run, it wouldn't mean anything, right? Right. It would just be like, well, you're playing sub. You might have linebacker next to his name, but you're playing sub, so you're not fooling us. He is not his brother, but that doesn't matter. He just needs to be the best version of Jahzir Cox, and that is what I think he's being. And really fun to see after so much of his career with, like, drop picks or PBUs or being this close to that, and actually to see it come to fruition and have a game that is probably going to get you – started maybe looked at for all conference looks, maybe some all American looks. That was a big deal for Jahzir Cox. And I'm really happy to see him, you know, kind of put pen to paper there. That was great.
Yeah. I mean, even you remember, like, I almost fell out of my chair when they ran that stunt with him and Tony Pierce against UND. Like, they're building him into the run game. And that's not something you'd expect with a guy, his size, you know, when you look at him on paper, but that shows you what, the coaching staff thinks about him as a ball player, and I think he's really special. And like you said, it's been really cool to see everything come to fruition for him as he's kind of becoming that well-rounded ball player that we all knew he could be.
I want to ask you something, just as an offensive lineman who's blocked for him before. I'm interested to know what's going on with Kobe Johnson. And not that he's playing terribly, but this is a kid that has a true freshman, I think, in 2019, because I'm pretty sure this is only his third year here. It's not just the yards per carry. It's also the yards per game. So as a true freshman, he plays in 14 games, gets 660 yards on the ground, averages 7.7 a clip and 47 yards a game. And you think, well, he's behind a couple of guys on the depth chart. He's not the feature back. It's easier to average a bunch of yards when you're not the feature back. It's like the Ty Brooks experience. You know, Ty was a great player, but he was, you know, behind Cofield or behind whomever was getting those A-gap power and duo handoffs, right?
Right.
It's easier to average 8 point yards a carry when you're usually running G or a sweep or something that's designed to get outside and get wild. And Ty's probably going to horn in on us, dude. I know you ran power. I know you. Right now. Yeah. It's like, I know you did all the stuff. I know. Last spring, six games, 61 carries, 4.4 carry, 45 a game. So not only down per carry, but down per game. This year, 46 for 202, still 4.4 a tote and down to 33 a game. A player that should be ascending is having his production somewhat descend. And again, like I said, he's not playing terribly, But mm-hmm. like that pop that we saw, that excitement that we saw, you get 11 carries for 41 yards. I know Illinois State's a good team, but it's just hard to get super juiced up about what's going on with Kobe right now.
Yeah, I totally understand. It's just, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, I mean, he is a small person as far as who's running the ball, you know, building in this offense. So you're not going to run him between the tackles a whole lot, where I feel like that's been a lot of the game plan so far. There's a whole bunch of factors, I guess. You know, then it gets into O-line play. How much is that affecting him? You know, are they really doing their job when he's in? Because there's a whole stable of running backs that are toting the rock every Saturday. So you have to think that, you know, when Kobe's getting his shot, they might be honing in, knowing what's coming. So I guess, you know, I'd really have to go in and break it down. But I feel like running back is one of those positions where it's a lot of mental too. Like, how much of it is trusting that the backside cut's going to be there, or that you can make a safety miss when he's coming to fill? You know, I guess I've never played the position, but I feel like there could be a multitude of factors going into it. But I know he's one of those guys that's never happy with his performance. You know, obviously I want to see all my guys eat, but like we've talked about this entire year, there's only one football. So, you know, you got to get him where you can. And, you know, I only hope Kobe can make better use of when he gets his shots.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you know, the guy that I think can maybe take some of the load off would be Tamarick Williams, because Dom Gannella doesn't seem like he's at 100% right now. Another, you know, not a great performance. Wasn't awesome against UNI the week before. 9 carries, 28 yards, 3.1 per carry. I think your interior backs, your big backs, Dominic Gannella and Tamarick Williams could really, I think, open things up for Kobe and Bussey on the outside if they can get going a little bit more. Tamarick actually, of the outside of Bussey, who only got 3 carries, but Tamarick had the highest yards per carry between him and Kobe, and Dominic scored the game ceiling touchdown. They seem to be getting more and more comfortable with him as far as Matt mentioned in the press conference today, pass pro responsibilities. You know, if he's in there for 10 snaps and he's only carrying at 5, is he doing what he's supposed to be doing then those 5 times that he's not touching the ball? What do you do when the football's not in your hands is a big part of playing running back. What have your kind of, you haven't seen him a ton, never had the opportunity to practice with him. What have you seen from Tamarick in kind of limited action as to what impact he could have on this club?
I think just in the fact that he brings back a little bit of that physicality like we saw and lost with Cofield, you know, you look at these dudes who are big body power backs, you know, even go back to Sabian Clark, who are these 210 plus pound guys. There's not a lot of them in that room. And, you know, Tamarick is all of 225. He is a big dude. I think it just brings back that sledgehammer coming back again, where, you know, you can open up a little bit of space and get the linebackers to tighten down a little bit, and that only opens up more stuff for the playbook. And, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, being through it, the running back is integral in pass protection at NDSU. So I mean, if they're not going to put him out there, if he's going to get someone hurt, if, you know, they do call a pass protection, they have to have full trust in him to be able to do that. And I have all the faith in the world that, you know, with a body like that and being as big of a dude as he is, I think he can figure it out.
Nice to see. Speaking of transfer folks, Jerrod Vines getting another real opportunity at that cornerback spot. And obviously they didn't give up, you know, any points. It was a decent day, but they seem to, you know, they're not throwing all these guys in, certainly, but you can see the Vineses and the Tamarick Williams, these guys that were brought in as FBS drop down transfers, getting a little bit of love, getting a little bit of opportunity to play as they get deeper and deeper into the playbook.
Which, you know, for one, it's cool as a Bison myself just to see, because these are talented guys. They were highly recruited coming out of high school, but just for a guy who didn't play a lot in his college career, they left a situation that they didn't see themselves stepping on the field a lot, and they stepped down and now they're making an impact somewhere on Saturday. So that's really cool to see as well.
It is good to see Phoenix get working again, get a little bit of juice on Saturdays. It was nice to see him really stress in the middle of the field and just making plays for his football team.
Yeah, I think, you know, as the season progresses, we'll really start to see the playbook open up a little bit. I don't really know how much Coach Roll wants to tip his hand, because obviously why do that in October when you can save it for the first weekend of January? But I think Phoenix is going to have a big role in this offense going forward, because it seems like he's healthy. He's catching the ball well. He's moving well. And then obviously the energy and the leadership he brings to the program is unmatched from anybody else.
For sure. All right, Zach, before we get going, what are they working on this week? You, I'm not asking for inside info, but it's kind of something we do on these Monday recaps. What do you think is getting tightened that's a little bit loose right now in the program? What are the focuses going into Missouri State, an improved Missouri State program that I'm excited to preview with you for sure?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, one, getting everybody healthy. That's huge. There, did you like my coach's speak coming out there? It's still instilled in me. I give you the company line. But, you know, I think this is an improved Missouri State team of what people are used to. They went wire to wire with Oklahoma State, beat the brakes off of Illinois State, beat up Central Arkansas. So, I mean, it's just a thing where they usually have dudes who have juice on the D-line, and I would expect that to be the same. I don't know who left from last year or this spring, but I know that from my experience, I'm not going to try to throw dirt on anybody, but they're guys who go when they want to, but don't go when they don't want to. So I want to see a real physical, real knockdown, drag-out game that people have come to expect from the Rams, because if you get into a shootout with them, you might lose.
All right, we'll get that to you folks later on in the week. Thank you, Zach, so much for your time tonight. Thank you, Big Deck Barbecue, for being the title sponsor of the show. Thank all of you for listening. Have a great week, and go Bison.